Spectrum Business works with small businesses nationwide, so we know that running your own business means doing it all. Marketing, sales, inventory, customer service, and more. Spectrum One for Business helps you keep it all connected for just $49.99 a month. Get fast, reliable internet, advanced Wi-Fi with Security Shield, and a free mobile line for one low price. Stay connected and do it all with Spectrum One for Business. Only $49.99 a month. Go to spectrum.com/business to learn more. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive, America's number one motorcycle insurer. Everything is more exhilarating when you're on your motorcycle, just like your bike is more protected when you choose Progressive Motorcycle Insurance. They offer coverage for your bike starting as low as $75 per year, and they keep things affordable with discounts like paid in full, multi-policy, and responsible driver. So raise your kickstands and get to quoting at Progressive.com to see if you could save. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. $75 premium is for state minimum coverage. Not available in D.C. Discounts not available in all states or situations.
Ow. Those uncomfortable things we do for beauty.
Oof. Ouch.
And when it comes to whiter teeth, same story. Until now. Enjoy rinse-free whitening with new Sensodyne Clinical White. You'll get clinically proven whitening technology in an enamel-safe formula for two shades whiter teeth and 24/7 sensitivity protection. Sensodyne Clinical White. A whiter smile without the rinse.
What does motion sound like? With Kizikans free shoes, it sounds a little something like this. Experience the magic of motion. Get a free pair of socks with your first order at kizik.com/socks.
Hey, welcome in to the Dublin to Denver podcast on the Mile High Report podcast network. My name is Michael McQuaid, joined today by Colm Cronin, Stuart Roach. We may not be in Denver, but we're in Ireland, and we're loving the Broncos at the minute, undefeated in the preseason. There's always something with this team, and today, first off, we're going to go through the game. We're going to talk about your questions that you gave for us on Twitter today, and hopefully, time-dependent, we're going to talk about the quarterback situation. We're hearing a few whispers that something might change today, which is Monday. But hopefully this will still be relevant when you're listening to it. Anyway, let's look at the game first off. Before we do, Stuart, welcome in.
About the game, Mick?
I just said hello to you.
Oh, sorry. you broke slightly there. Hello. Good to see you again. Can't wait to talk about the pressing issue at hand. As promised, I did the non-social media, then watched the game in 40 on it was early enough. Now I think I probably would have caught the end if I'd switched the telly on. It's Colm's words of warning about the Lions, the not 16 Lions do sort of loom large over preseason, but you know, it's good to beat, it's good to dominate teams. And it's always good to beat the Seahawks, you know, let's be honest, but, no, it's good performance. The guys sort of sticking their hands up. We talked about, people, I think to me, the guy really sort of, copper fast in his position on the roster and looks like he could have an impact is Cooper, the outside linebacker. You know, he was, I think he had two sacks. He had a strip sack and another sack, but he was close to a couple more as well. So he looks like a real find. And a great story as well, because I think he was the chap who had an issue with his heart. He hasn't trained recently. So that's everybody loves a story like that, but he looked like a fine player. It was a great performance, but I know there's stuff that we need to talk about that sort of manifested itself in the game that sort of factors into the overall theme of where we're going with this.
Well, let's say, as we say here, let's keep her lit. Obviously, Colm, welcome in as well. The Broncos, I can't even talk. It's been that sort of a day at this Broncos as well. 2-0 in the preseason, a 30-3 victory over Seattle Seahawks. Going for the full sweep this weekend, which we'll talk about after this episode. But you must have been proud, Colm, watching that performance on Saturday night. You know, a great performance from Teddy Bridgewater. What was your thoughts on that game?
Look, there were lots of positives to take from it. There were worrying aspects as well. So the takeaways, Cooper looks an absolute steal, and he looks like an impact player. And that's what you love to see, as a young guy making an impact, which is really what preseason is about. Unsurprisingly, Justin Simmons was unbelievable. He'll probably never get an easier interception. He is no longer the highest paid safety in the league, but I would contend that he is the best safety in the league. And there were definitely, you know, positives to take from it. Williams looks continues to impress at running back. The biggest concern remains special teams. I mean, that is just an abject disaster. Why Tom McMahon is still in a job? Look, Tom McMahon is the guy who ran what remains one of the most baffling, the dumbest, the most stupid, thick-headed. We could go on. You could read from the thesaurus here. Watch the Coles Patriots game. You will never see a play like it. We decided to employ the guy. We decided to retain the guy. It is a baffling decision. It's one the Broncos continue to roll with, but we'll probably end up talking about other baffling decisions at some point. But to me, that was really took the gloss off a little bit, the worry around special teams. But you would have to say you can only beat what's in front of you. And the Broncos have been very impressive in preseason. We have one more game of preseason to go before real football begins.
Yeah, and I guess just sort of staying on that game, it was a difficult game to watch if you're in Europe. All right, I'm just going to put it out there. For us, it was a 3 a.m. start. I mean, my God almighty. Like, let's just say it wasn't easy on the eyes, whether you were watching it live or watching it at 9 a.m. in the morning, I think, in a 40-minute video. For me, it was concerning seeing Michael Ojemudia being carted off. I think at one point, you know, you really had a concern for him. But I guess it's good news that it's week to week. I guess there's different players that have been given expectations week to week. Looking at guys like Carson Wentz, he seems to be coming back to it a bit quicker than we thought he would. But look, hopefully, please God, he'll be okay. Sure, was there anybody else that stood out to you in that game? I mean, you know, obviously before we touch on the subject, but seeing guys like Michael Lowe go down and only be week to week, I'll be honest, when he originally went down and when you seen his reaction, I thought he was actually going to be out for the season because he looked devastated.
Yeah, it looked like a bad knee injury. I think they're saying now you're looking at probably 4 weeks out, so that's not too bad. And I think, you know, it's probably, apart from wide receiver, by far and away the most stacked position group we have on the roster. So obviously you never want an injury to anybody, but I think, you know, a four-week injury to Ojemudia is one we can take the hit on that one, because we do have so many good defensive backs. A little concerning for me was the offensive line strength and depth may have been over-exaggerated slightly if the first couple of series that Drew Lock had to suffer was anything to go by. I think, you know, look, offensive linemen are very difficult to come by, as you know, particularly tackles. I would be very surprised if Fleming is still on the roster after the original round of cuts. He's struggled hugely, which should be of no surprise to anybody who's watched his career after he left the Patriots. So I think he's very much in danger. So I think we've got some decent pieces there, but by God, if anything happens to Gareth Bowles, you really should, whatever sort of faith you have, light candles, you know, pray to Zeus, whatever it is you do, make sure that nothing happens to Gareth Bowles in the season. Who would have thought we would have said that this time last year? But hey, we're big enough to admit our mistakes. But yeah, that was a little concerning for me. But you know, I mean, look, what I didn't think, I think it'd be remiss not to mention the fact that Teddy Bridgewater looked very sharp on his first couple of drives. I think they were somewhat skewed by the fact that Vic Fangio suddenly went riverboat Ron on the whole thing and decided to gamble for it twice on fourth down, which was not something I think we're going to see very much of in the regular season. And then in similar situations, when Drew Lock was faced with fourth downs, Vic decided not to go for it. And then he was questioned about this after the game. Pick said that he wanted Brandon McManus to get some work. Brandon McManus has been in the NFL for 8 years and has been an absolutely vital part of the Broncos for a number of those years, and was huge in the Super Bowl win in 2015. So the idea that Vic wanted to get his kicker some work in a game against the Seahawks when the Broncos were leading by about 20 points at that stage is absolutely preposterous and baffling and makes no sense, and leads us, I think, down the road to this idea of this quarterback competition maybe not being as even as it was portrayed to be all along by various sort of parts of the media. I don't know if you want to get into that now, and I know it was a question that we got today on Twitter, Mick. But to me, that was just one of the examples. You could also talk about the fact that Drew Lock has one of the highest percentage rates amongst quarterbacks in the NFL out of play action. Drew Lock didn't get a single play call from Pat Shurmur on play action in any of his snaps at the weekend, nor did he get any bootlegs, did he get any rollouts. No, Drew was in under center for most of the time, and he was handing the ball off for most of his snaps, or else he was just taking a drop back. So you're not putting a guy in the best situation for him to succeed, but that shouldn't really matter because it's preseason and he's playing with second and third stringers. He's throwing to wide receiver five, wide receiver six. It shouldn't really matter. But of course, it does matter because we have decided that a second half performance by Drew Lock against the Seattle Seahawks reserves with Drew with the Denver Broncos reserves has taken on massive importance, allegedly. And this is yet another example of a dysfunctional organization when it comes to evaluating the most important position in the sport. It's preposterous. Teddy Bridgewater did really well in his series to get those two touchdowns. Teddy Bridgewater did nothing different than what Drew Lock did last week against the Vikings. So what's this situation now where all the whispers have become, it's going to be Teddy, it's going to be Teddy, it's going to be Teddy. So why? Why is it now going to be Teddy? Because he did something more impressive than Lock did against the Vikings? No. So is it because Lock wasn't as impressive with the second and third stringers than Teddy was against the Vikings? But this makes no sense. As I said to Colin earlier on today when we were chatting, do you know who was brilliant over the weekend in a preseason game? Mitch Trubisky. He was superb. Did you see him? Nobody cares because it's a preseason game. But oh no, we've somehow invested this game against the Seahawks that has become hugely important for the future of the team, for the entire season. And it seems like it's been based on what Drew did behind a line that featured no starters. Because what Shurmur did was the minute Drew went in, four of the five starting linemen were taken out. So that's what you're looking at. That's what you're at. So, sorry, I know I've gone off on the one there a little bit on a tangent. But I thought somebody was making that up when they asked Fangio about why he didn't go for it when Lock was on the field in fourth down. Because he wanted Brandon McManus to get some work.
Yeah, and I think you've touched on a number of points there, and Colm, I'm going to give you the mic in like 30 seconds, which I'm sure you'll be happy to do. But I think one thing that we haven't really looked at, and one thing that concerned me, was that offensive line. They looked decent to strong against the Vikings, but I thought they struggled man up against the Seahawks. I really do. And I know, Stuart, you've mentioned it there, like with Gar Bowles, and we really need to start praying if he's out. Like, I think we're screwed with it. I really do. Like, what's going on there? Like, I don't know. Anyway, look, that's not even a story at the minute because.
No, but, and you're right. I think the offensive line did struggle a little bit, and Seattle didn't play very many of their starters, certainly on defense. You know, so as I said, I think the starting four out of the starting five look pretty good to me. But you know, this is not this is not the Dallas Cowboys offensive line yet. You know, there's some way to go. So yeah, I agree with you there.
Right, let's jump in. I know, sure, you're very sure to give your thoughts there. Colm, I can see you are a man itching to to get your thoughts on it. But this, obviously, the Broncos now in the situation in which, well, they have one more preseason game against the Rams, game in Denver this weekend. But you'd like to think, surely to Jesus, that the quarterback situation would be over. If not by tonight or Tuesday afternoon, then we'd have the quarterback situation over before a meaningless final preseason game, and to at least give the team a bit of time. Teddy Bridgewater against Drew Lock or Brett Rippon. I mean, if we want to include him into the conversation, he had a good few reps in preseason. Colm, it looks as if Teddy Bridgewater is going, like, I mean, if you go by Twitter, it seems as if he is now destined to be the starting quarterback for the team. What's your thoughts on it? And also, you know, why bother investing so much time and energy into a quarterback and Drew Lock when it's been quite clear, if that is a decision, in my opinion, that Bridgewater was always going to be the starting quarterback when he was brought in, and it was the worst kept secret in Dove Valley for months. Or maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm missing something.
Where to begin? Look, I go back to the point they made last week. QB competitions are a nightmare unless you have a rookie who's coming in who's trying to take the job, right? Because if you are, you know, like the Patriots, where you're trying to find out, is Mac Jones going to take it from Cam Newton? Is Justin Fields going to take it from Andy Dalton? But the other team that are in a situation similar to us are the Saints, where you're wondering, will it be Jameis or will it be Taysom Hill? And that is, you know, equally, fans there, I think, are equally as probably unenthusiastic about this QB competition, because you want a clear starter. You really want a clear starter after two preseason games. So I just think that when you are taking reps away from your starting QB, it's silly to me. Look, we sat here last week. It wasn't even this time last week. It was towards the end of last week. And we thought that, you know, all the noise was about Drew and how well he had performed, and that he looked likely to get the shot. We now hear that, you know, it looks very likely that it will be Teddy. It's yet to be confirmed that the coaches kind of were always leaning towards Teddy. And it doesn't make any sense to me. Like, what was, if that was the fact that they were always leading, well, what did you keep Drew around for? Like, I go back to, you should have made a decision in February. Either you were going to back Drew Lock or you weren't going to back Drew Lock. But I don't know what was gained by, if Drew Lock is not the starter, I don't know what was gained by keeping him on over the course of the summer and having a QB competition. I don't think it served a purpose for anybody. But we, you know, sure, all signs point to Teddy, but I guess until it happens, I'm a bit surprised. I would have thought that on lunchtime on the Monday after game two, are we going to hear it this week? Is it going to be dragged out until after the third game? That's what I'm curious to see at this point, because for the vast majority of teams next week, even though they have shortened preseason, I don't think most teams will be playing very many starters at all in game three.
Stuart, provided that this, say if this did go out, this podcast magically, and the decision has already been made, we talked about this before Colm arrived into the podcast studio. If you're Drew Lock and, you know, you feel like you were the guy for such a long time in that team, and suddenly this has happened with the GM situation with Teddy Bridgewater coming in, do you request to be traded immediately? Do you think that's a realistic concept, or do you think Drew Lock looks at this team and looks at the talent in this team outside of the quarterback situation and thinks, I could have a chance here, maybe week four, week five? For me personally, man, I think, like, if that was me, I'd be raging. I'd be so annoyed after everything, because he's clearly put the effort in over the offseason after a difficult year last year.
Yeah, I mean, I if I'm Drew Lock, I'm absolutely out of there if I can get out of there. I mean, it's very late in the sort of the offseason to be looking for this. Or sorry, not the offseason, the preseason to be looking for this. Because to me, I'm kind of going, I was under the impression that this was a fair quarterback battle, but all signs are now beginning to point to the fact that it was never a fair quarterback battle. I know Benjamin Albright tonight was saying that it appears now that it was always skewed towards Teddy Bridgewater. One of the things, Colm, I believe, and I don't want to get too conspiracy on theory on it, but I genuinely think that the quarterback battle was concocted in order to make it an easier sell to the fans. Because I think if they traded for Teddy Bridgewater and said he's our starter, the fans would have been up in arms about this, because nobody wanted Teddy Bridgewater to do that. The Carolina Panthers are paying 3/4 of his salary to not play for the Carolina Panthers this year. And they traded to get Sam Darnold, who is, you know, damn good at this stage. I mean, Sam Darnold has a lot of talent. You just don't know if he's ever going to be able to do anything with it. So, you know, like, I looked into Teddy Bridgewater wasn't really a quarterback that was on my radar very much, to be brutally honest with you, because he was kind of, you know, the quintessential journeyman. That's what he was. So, you know, at no stage did I ever kind of look at him and kind of go, I wonder, should we ever make a move for Teddy? Because, you know, that wasn't something that was something that I ever even countenanced. Teddy Bridgewater has started 49 games in the NFL. And Teddy Bridgewater has thrown 53 touchdown passes. He's had one playoff appearance and he threw for 140 yards in that playoff appearance that he lost. So there seems to be, you know, people living in cloud cuckoo land out there at the moment that Teddy's going to come in here and, due to this vast array of talent that we have on offense, that it's going to become the greatest show on turf. And suddenly we're going to be putting, you know, 35, 40 points on opponents regularly. That's not going to happen. There's nothing in his past to suggest that he's capable of lighting up teams. It's just not going to happen. It's not, it you know, there's very rarely players like Jim Plunkett who are sort of middle of the road quarterbacks who then go to another team and suddenly win a couple of Super Bowls. It happens once every 20, 30 years. It doesn't happen. It's like even Ryan Tannehill is the closest we have to him now. You know, he got to the AFC Championship game. It's just incredibly rare for a player to turn it around after, you know, and you know what you're kind of going to get with Teddy at this stage. I mean, I think, what's he in the league now, 6, 7 years? That's a pretty decent sample size, you know? So to me, the quarterback battle was concocted in order to make it an easier sell. And I, along with you guys, because I know we've chatted about this before, Patrick Surtain is a brilliant cornerback. He reminds me of Patrick Peterson, Champ Bailey. He looks like those types of cornerbacks.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive, America's number one motorcycle insurer. Everything is more exhilarating when you're on your motorcycle. Just like your bike is more protected when you choose Progressive Motorcycle Insurance. They offer coverage for your bike starting as low as $75 per year. And they keep things affordable with discounts like paid in full, multi-policy, and responsible driver. So raise your kickstands and get to quoting at Progressive.com to see if you could save. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. $75 premium is for state minimum coverage. Not available in D.C. Discounts not available in all states or situations.
But you pass on Justin Fields, and it is palatable because you decide to go with Locke for one last season and see what he's got. That's the only reason you pass on Justin Fields at 9. You do not pass on Justin Fields because you think Teddy Bridgewater is going to be your franchise quarterback. Teddy's not going to be here next year, one way or the other. So this is yet another in a series of crazy decisions that the Broncos have made in the quarterback position since Peyton Manning retired. You know, like at one stage, when you draft a quarterback in the first round, he always plays. That's what happens. He plays. And, you know, he usually plays in season one. Very rarely do you have the luxury of waiting the likes of Pat Mahomes, you know, people like that, Aaron Rodgers. It doesn't happen very often. But you get a game. The longest quarterback to be drafted in the first round to get a start is Paxton Lynch. It's Paxton Lynch. So, you know, you couldn't even get that one right. Like, as Colin has pointed out on numerous occasions, we decided to have a quarterback battle between Trevor Siemian and Paxton Lynch. You know, I mean, that's like pick your sexually transmitted disease. Do you know what I mean? It's like, honestly, it's like, really? I know. You prefer herpes or chlamydia? Like, that's what you're talking about. That's what that quarterback battle is. We all do respect for both guys. Do you know what I mean? So we seem to think that this is a good idea. And we seem to think, like, I'm being facetious here. I think this is a really poor decision, because if there's nothing appreciably different between the guys in training camp, which there wasn't by any kind of neutral observer, if there hasn't been anything appreciably different between the two guys in the preseason games, which there wasn't when they both got their shot with the ones, then you go with the guy who's younger and has more upside. That's quarterback evaluation 101. That's a no-brainer, as they say. But no, all the signs are now we're going for Teddy. I'm flabbergasted. I really am. I thought, as you said, when we were talking this time last week or towards the tail end of last week, all the signs pointed to Drew, and it made sense. It made sense to pick him. And for some reason, now it's shifted, because the pulling guard stood on Drew Lock's foot and he fell over, which meant we had to go for field goal. And stuff like that seems to be the reason why.
Colin, we spoke with Noah Fant, Dalton Reisner, on a couple of different shows quite recently in the last 4 months. Both talked about the unity in the locker room with the young players, the respect that they had for Drew Lock, and the support that they had for him. How do you think that dressing room would feel, or that locker room would feel, after a guy that clearly the team have been, obviously have been investing in over this time, suddenly loses his position? And arguably, if Teddy comes in and does a half decent job, he may never play a down again for this team. Let's be honest, in the regular season, how do you think this team would feel at Dove Valley if this decision was made, which we expected to be like?
Well, I think that they're all professionals. I think that whatever the decision is going to be made, they're going to go out and do their very best to win. There will undoubtedly be players who have preferences for any number of reasons, be it just they get on better, be it that they feel that one is better than the other. I mean, we saw Brandon Marshall on Twitter last night really bigging up Teddy. He's an enormous Teddy fan. He feels Teddy is a better QB than Baker Mayfield. So there will be players who have differences of opinions. I think you have seen, I wouldn't have any doubt that the dressing room, whatever decision is made, they will be professional about it. You've seen the comments. I think clearly that some guys were big fans of Drew. We saw Shelby Harris come out swinging on Twitter, but equally I have definitely seen Teddy Bridgewater and Garrett Bowles appear to have very much developed a friendship over the course of training camp. To me, this is less about Teddy and less about Drew. This is about the decision making at the very top and trying to ascertain what the thinking was. We didn't go and get Drew. We picked Drew in the second round, where we got out and got Joe Flacco, and then Joe Flacco was elite. He was coming into his prime. Then it was absolutely fine that he wasn't going to be a mentor. That was no problem. That was a great. That was actually the mentality that we wanted. At least that's what we were told at the time. Then that all went wrong. Then we saw how Joe Flacco was in his starting with the Broncos, and that was awful. And then Drew comes in, has a great end of the season, and then we changed the his offensive coordinator. Then last season was a disaster. Don't get me wrong. Again, I go back to, I would be absolutely fine if this franchise had made that decision at the end of the year. Right. We just feel Drew had his chance. We are moving on. And then you move on. But they didn't do that. They went, well, did they? We'll bring in Teddy. We'll have this kind of semi, maybe competition. Who knows? I cannot understand what it is. You want a leader in your locker room. The QB is the guy everyone looks to. And I keep going back to 2015. Everyone talks about the defense carried the team. Sure. But Peyton Manning's leadership was so key. And I think it is undervalued. Peyton's mere presence impacted and inspired. And that's what a franchise QB does. It makes the other players better by merely being there. You know, and that's what John Elway did consistently. And that's what you see in other sports. You know, for us, Roy Keane was that example. You know, Diego Maradona was that example. There, you know, Tom Brady, like him or loathe him, he is that example. He rolled into Tampa Bay last year, and that team, everyone suddenly got behind him. That's what you want. We're not expecting anyone to be, but you need a QB1. You need him to be the leader. You need everyone in the locker room to look up to him.
Yeah, we call him Teddy Bridgewater has some similar traits to Tom Brady, according to Vic. So that should be, you know, that should be fine. I presume
you do. You know what, right? Stuart, I'm just going to ask you this because we need to get questions in here, right? I'll ask you, I'll ask Colin. You know what? I'll answer it first. I'm going to say a big fat maybe, probably no. Did the Broncos make the playoffs with Teddy Bridgewater, Stuart?
QB1? No. They don't. No, they don't. They'll flatter to deceive. We've got a bit of a vanilla sort of start to the season. Then we have a fairly brutal stretch. But I would be, so, you know, I think we'll have a similar start maybe to the one Vance Joseph had when Trevor Siemian looked good, you know, when we battled the Cowboys that time. But no, we won't. We won't make the playoffs. We won't. The problem is, Mick, that we may win enough games to take us away from a top 10 pick, but in which case, as Colin was saying earlier on, then you just do what needs to be done to go and finally get the guy. You know, there's three or four pretty good quarterbacks, you know, in next year's draft. You know, one of the upshots of this thing is that now, you know, college football is back in 2 weeks, so I'll be taking a much more of a vested interest in that than I had anticipated. Oh, look, a quarterback from Oklahoma. Let's go. Let's make sure I check that out. This
Oh, man, there hasn't even been a die in a football yet. Come on.
You know that's what's coming. But no, sorry, all joking aside, no, I don't think we make the playoffs. I think we'll probably be closer than we have been, but I think ultimately we will flatter to the sea, and I think we'll miss out. We'll probably go 8-9, I suppose.
Before we get the questions in from a lot, I've actually got a few questions. Thanks very much to everyone that's gave their contributions. Colin, playoffs, Teddy.
I think we have a fantastically talented roster. We have some guys, particularly on the defensive side of the ball, who are the best in their position in the league, in my opinion. I think we have some really, really talented players on offense. I don't think we were making the playoffs with either QB, whether it was Locke or whether it was Bridgewater. I think this is an enormous season for Vic Fangio. I would love to have playoff football back in the Mile High City, but I think this is an enormous season for Vic Fangio. It is year three. He has had the stability. He has his coaching. He decided to retain Tom McMahon. He decided to bring in Pat Shurmur. He just makes the decision on QB. Okay, so this is Vic Fangio's team. Whatever happens now, this is it. He has all the experience behind him. He has all that defensive knowledge that he has. So do I think? No, but who am I? I'm just a fan with an opinion. I think it will be fascinating to see how Vic Fangio handles this season, because he has an incredibly talented roster that, you know, could it make the playoffs? It could, but do I think personally it will? I don't. But I do think this is really interesting. To see how this plays out, and will I watch every single minute of the Broncos regular season, no matter what way it plays out? I absolutely will.
Okay, we've got a few questions here. I'm gonna agree with you boys. I think no at the minute. I would go beyond that. I know you're going to both jump in here, so don't, because we need to get these questions. I think this is a wasted season. I think it's sad to watch if this team doesn't get to the playoffs with the talent they have outside of quarterback. I think it's sad that we're in this situation again. I think it's bad for the fans. I think it's bad for some of the players that, you know, quite frankly, deserve better. And it's not good enough, to be quite frank. So let's see what happens. I still think the Broncos will win every game this season until proven otherwise. I can see Stuart smiling there. So I think, look, I'd be disappointed if Drew Lock's not at least given the opportunity, because Teddy will be there regardless. Give him a few weeks to see the crack, as we said. Right. There's a couple of ones here we'll go over very quickly because we've already talked about it. Sean Holmes, it's going to be Teddy, isn't it? I mean, I think we're all nodding here. Yeah. So yeah, Sean, thank you. Luke Kelly just brought up something that Collins stated, so I'll ask this to Stuart. If Denver don't make it to the playoffs, Stuart, or the wild cards this year, do you think Fangio will get fired?
Oh, absolutely, yeah, and deservedly so. You know, I agree with Colm. I think this is by far and away the most talented roster we've had since 2015, and by some distance. You know, look, everything, the leaks, the kind of the info that's coming out sort of have all pointed to the fact that Fangio wanted Teddy Bridgewater. So you may have been able to kind of sort of give him some kind of an excuse in the first year, because Flacco flamed out last year. He had a very young quarterback. You know, it was a COVID season. That was, you kind of let him away with that one. There's no excuses this year. You know, he's gotten the quarterback he wants. In some ways, I think this is actually quite useful for George Payton, because I don't think he wanted to go in there and the first thing he did was to fire an incumbent head coach, even one who had such a poor win-loss record. So I think I think there's an element of letting this play out, and I think when it ends the way it probably will do, I think it's much easier for George Payton then to pull the trigger and then start from scratch. The thing to remember is that all of the NFL went young and offensive when it came to head coach hires in the last couple of years. John Elway booked the trend and went old and defensive. And it hasn't worked up to this point. So I would be very surprised if Vic Fangio was still the Broncos head coach this time next year.
Yeah, and we've got a couple of little points here. There's a question from Cal.
One last thing.
Yeah, yeah.
Vic Fangio is currently the bookies' favorite to be the first NFL coach to be fired. As we know well in Ireland, bookies don't tend to go out of business very often. So there's something to that.
I still think no matter, unless they lose the first 7 or 8 games in a row, I think he'll get the season. I really do. Kyle says, is Fangio conspiring to give Teddy the job against the wishes of Chris Payton? Okay, thank you for that, Cal. Right, last one, and I'll get it from both of you boys. Dan from the West Country, I think that's Yorkshire. Yorkshire, yeah. Looking at what John Elway did at GM and with his stature in the game, and he loves living in Denver, is there a role for Peyton Manning at the organization? Could he be part of the consortium that owns the franchise? What do you boys think?
He might be the figurehead. If there was, you know, I mean, that's the whole ownership thing is in a massive state of flux. I guess John Elway may want to step down at some stage. I mean, he's been in football for an awfully long time. And, you know, I think he isn't getting any younger. But the thing would be, he's just recently appointed George Payton, you know, who has come with a really impressive CV and is highly regarded. So maybe if new ownership come in, they want a clean house from top to bottom, then maybe Peyton's let go. But that would seem incredibly harsh, because he has, bar the quarterback position, which, you know, may or may not entirely have been his fault, he has had a very good off-season up to this point. So I don't know. I think it would be a magnificent story. But at this stage, I would find it slightly unlikely.
What do you think, Colm?
I think Payton used his Hall of Fame speech to audition for the commissioner job. I think Payton wants to be in a position where he's making decisions that impact, that have a real impact. Now, you know, could he be the front of an ownership? Yeah, sure. Look, Peyton could do anything. Like, I think we've seen Peyton host Saturday Night Live and be hilarious. We've seen Peyton play golf and be brilliant. We have seen Peyton Manning, you know, be one of the greatest quarterbacks to ever play the game. Peyton Manning could do anything. I just got the impression from Peyton's Hall of Fame speech that the game was that important to him, that I could see him taking over from Roger Goodell and continuing to grow and expand this great sport. You know, here we are, three lads talking about the NFL and the Denver Broncos 5,000 miles away. I think Peyton could grow the sport to even greater heights. Whatever Peyton Manning chooses to do next, I have no doubt but that he will be successful.
Absolutely. The Broncos are playing the Rams this weekend in the final preseason game. I mean, God knows where this team's going to be in terms of the quarterback by that point. We'll be back again later on this week. You can check us out on Twitter at @Michael_NFL, at Colin from Cork, and at @PurpleHeartTC. I think I got that right, Stuart. But lads, a pleasure as always. Appreciate it. And go Broncos, everybody. Thank you very much for listening. Please give the Mile High Report podcast a review as well if you enjoyed it. And we'll chat to you soon. Go Broncos.
Go Broncos.
Go Broncos.